Luke chapter 11, verse 4b, meaning the latter half of verse 4. This is the reading of God's word. And lead us not into temptation. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you will grant us, all of us, an ear to hear your word. That we will actually hear, and that our faith will grow, and that we will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Father, we pray that through your word that we will be able to meet our Lord Jesus Christ and have fellowship with him. And through your word that we will see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done, what he has accomplished for us. So that we may rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. And Father, by your grace, that your word will be preached correctly. That all of us not only believe, but obey your word, to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we come to the last part of the Lord's Prayer in the book of Luke. Lead us not into temptation. But in the book of Matthew, the Lord's Prayer does not end with this, but continues with, but deliver us from evil. And in the parentheses, we see, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, the last one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It appears in a parenthesis because the older versions of the copies of the Bible, original Bible, do not have it. Thus, we do not have the confidence that that is included in the original Bible. But the content of it does not contradict the teachings of the Bible, so we do not have a serious problem with it. So when you read your Bible, you know, look, see if any verse you're reading is in the parentheses, it means the older copies do not have that in their manuscripts. Lead us not into temptation. What are we praying when we pray this? The word that is translated as temptation can be also translated as test or trial. The context will tell us what translation is the best. James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. So obviously, the Bible tells us that God does not tempt us. But Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you and testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandment or not. Genesis 21, verse 1, God tested Abraham. So God does not tempt us, but he does test us. And it could be the same word. So God does not tempt us, Satan does. Satan tempts us. And God's testing is for our own growth. But Satan's temptation, its purpose is for us to sin. So the testing of God or trials given by God, they are good for us. God uses them to bless us. James chapter 1 verse 2 to 4, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. James chapter 1 verse 12, blessed is the man who preserves under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6 and 7, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So God's testing is a good thing. He tests us so that He could bless us, but Satan tempts us. All he wants us to do is sin. The biblical truth is that the same event can be both a test by God and a temptation by Satan at the same time. God tests us, but at the same time, Satan uses that event to tempt us. God tests us so that our faith will grow, but at the same time, God allows Satan to tempt us. Of course, Satan tempts us so that we will sin. This was how it was from the very beginning. Do you remember Adam and Eve? God said to them not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. Obviously, it was God's test. But the temptation of Satan came with it. It was a God's test, but the temptation of Satan was also there. If one endures well the testing of God, so he obeys God, then God will bless him. But if one falls into Satan's temptation, then he sins. And the wage of sin is death. So remember this fact, that the same event can be both God's testing and Satan's temptation. We need to understand these things when we are faced with these things. Now, another thing we need to understand is that Satan's temptation comes to us in three categories. This is what the Bible teaches. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world. See, it says all that is in the world, meaning these three things that follows is all that is in the world. So every temptation will be in these three categories. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. So three things. The lust of the flesh. The temptation will come. The lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. You know, we sin all kinds of sins, but if you really think about it, it's in these three categories. Either your flesh, or your eyes, or your desire to boast. That's all what the world is all about. When we say that you are in the world, we're not talking about, you know, your worldly meaning that you actually live on this earth. No, that these worldly people are living according to these three things. The lust of the flesh, whatever they do will be because of it. And the lust of the eyes and the boasting. That's all. It includes every sin that you commit, every temptation. We could see that Adam and Eve fail in all three ways. Chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. The tree was good for the food, the lust of the flesh. It was a delight to the eyes, the lust of the eyes. And the tree was desirable to make one wise, the boastful pride of life. Adam and Eve sinned and fell in sin. All the sinners who fell in sin, which includes all humankind, they now become someone who just cannot overcome the temptations of Satan. They're so sinful that when Satan tempts them to sin, they will fall. They cannot help it. That's how the worldly people, they are. Sinful people. And we're not talking about worldly morals. You know, when we think like filthy sin, we think in terms of like sexual or, you know, murder. But you have to remember, the worst kind of sin to God is having other gods. That's number one. Do not have any other gods before me, he says. So when we look at someone in other religion, we don't think of them as a filthy sinner. We don't think like that. But to God, that is the most filthy sin that anybody can commit. So when I talk about sin and how filthy sin, we're not talking according to worldly standard, worldly morals. And you have to start thinking like, how Bible tells us, not what the world says, anything. Now, Adam and Eve, because they sinned, they fell, and everyone who is born after them, they all born in sin. And they have become someone who just cannot overcome the temptation of Satan. By nature, they will fall in sin, fall in into temptations. So they will be led to the temptation. This is the reality of all sinners without Christ. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, God said, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." See, this is what the Bible says. You might disagree. You say, no, even non-Christians, they're not evil continually. Well, they reject God continually. And that's very evil. And you gotta follow the conclusion that God makes. You know, if God says that they're so evil continually, and you go, no, they're not, you're wrong. See, this is why when I talk to people, I don't really listen to what they say. I listen to what the Bible say. They could tell me all they want how good they are, but Bible tells me they're not good. They're evil. So I don't listen when it comes to that kind of stuff. Because Bible already told me how it is. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Gracie growing up because I think she will sing hymns really loud. You know, we need someone like that in our congregation. So these sinners will always be led to temptation and sin against God. Luke chapter 8 verse 13 tells us what happens to these sinners. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. When temptation comes, they fall away. See, they cannot not fall away. This is the reality of sinners without Christ. Actually, they love to be tempted. They love to sin. That is their desire. Furthermore, they tempt God. This is what the Israelites has done. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Do not harden your hearts as when they, Israelites, provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. These sinners tested the patience of God. They tested God to see that God would do what they wanted. They tested the faithfulness of God. In Acts 5, Ananias and his wife Sapphira, I don't know if I'm saying their names right, but in Acts 5, you know the story, right? You read Acts 5, chapter 9. Then Peter said to her, "Why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test?" See, they tested to see if God really knows or not that they were actually lying to God. This is what the sinners will do. And obviously, these sinners will never pray, "Lead us not into temptation." Why would they pray this when they enjoy being tempted and sin against God? So we pray this to witness the reality that we have been saved out of the reality in which we led into temptation and sin. In other words, if you are not saved by our Lord Jesus Christ, not only you will not pray this, but you cannot pray this with a sincere heart. Only Jesus Christ has endured perfectly the testing of God and obeyed God perfectly. And only Jesus Christ has perfectly triumphed over the temptation of Satan. And I have good news for you and me that Jesus did all that for us in our places. And because of Him, and only in Jesus, we have become someone who has endured perfectly the testing of God and obeyed Him, and who has perfectly triumphed over the temptation of Satan, even though only thing we actually do is sin. Do you understand the gospel? Only Jesus did all that perfectly. But because He did it for us, is as if we did it ourselves. This is how God receives us. We have seen this in Luke chapter 4, when we saw Jesus being tempted by Satan. That event was the temptation of Satan, but at the same time, it was the testing of God. Satan said to him, "Tell this stone to become bread, the lust of the flesh." Satan showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, the lust of the eyes. "Throw yourself down from here," Satan says to Jesus, the boastful pride of life showing off what you could do. And our Lord Jesus Christ triumphs over all. In all three categories, Jesus obeys God perfectly. And our Lord Jesus Christ never once complained during the time of testing, during the time of temptation. And He never tested God. In fact, He said, Luke chapter 4, verse 12, "And Jesus answered and said to Satan, 'It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" The gospel is this, that His perfect obedience is our obedience. And His victory over the temptation is our victory. This is why we rejoice. If God tells us you have to triumph over all the temptation of Satan, well, forget it. You and I will fail. But what God tells us is that Jesus' triumph is ours. His obedience is ours. You must believe. We who have received this kind of salvation are praying, "Lead us not into temptation." It witnesses the reality of our salvation. As God's people who have received His salvation, now sincerely praying that we will not be led into temptation. Thus, this prayer witnesses that our salvation is accomplished, that heaven has been accomplished for us. Well, we've been seeing over and over again in the book of Luke, the kingdom of God is accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. In heaven, there is no temptation. As we have said already, now our Lord Jesus Christ has endured all the testing of God and obeyed God perfectly, and He has triumphed over all temptations, and He did that for us, and He did that in our places. And just like all other prayers in the Lord's Prayer, we are praying for the reality that has already been accomplished. Of course, spiritually only. But it has been accomplished. So if we are praying for something that has been already accomplished, then we are able to pray with confidence. This is the Christian prayer. We pray with confidence. Because it is already accomplished spiritually, and one day it will be visibly consummated, guaranteed, because it is already spiritually accomplished. Yes, in heaven there will never be a time in which we will be led into temptation. There will be no testing of God in heaven either. Thus, this prayer is seeking the visible consummation of heaven. It is seeking the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, just like any other prayer in the Lord's Prayer. We're praying for Christ. He's the solution. He comes, then everything will be okay. No, it's not your determination. It's not your effort. It's not anything else. It's Jesus. He is the solution. When He comes, everything will be okay. And He came. That's why spiritually, everything is already okay. You just have to wait to see that reality being consummated visibly. And it's a guarantee. It will happen. See, until this prayer is answered and visibly consummated, we will face many testing and temptations, obviously. And you and I already know how we are so weak. So what are we to do? Many temptations will come our way, and testing also, and we are so weak. Well, first, we must believe that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished our heavenly reality in which we will never be led into temptation forever. And with that faith, I have to emphasize that, with that faith, we must pray this prayer always, and we must fight with sin and do our best to obey our God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, at the Mount of Gethsemane, let me read to you, Luke chapter 22, verse 44, and being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drop of blood falling down upon ground. Right before his death on the cross, it's God's testing and there's Satan's temptation. But that verse says that Jesus triumphs over the temptation and endures the testing and obeys God by praying. We must pray. Pray this prayer. You and I must pray diligently. We are so weak. Mark chapter 14, verse 38, keep watching, Jesus says to his disciples, and praying that you may not come into temptation. Did you hear that? Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. That's exactly what we pray in our Lord's Prayer. And Jesus says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, how we know that. Oh yes, spirit is willing, but our flesh is so weak. Thus we must pray. This Jesus, our Lord, prays for us. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you out like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, Jesus is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. He always lives to pray for them. We could see the content of His prayer for us in John chapter 17, verse 15 through 17. Jesus says, I do not ask you, Father, to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. God tells us how we will not be led into temptation. We pray and we hear and study and read God's Word. It's just we do not do what God says we must do. But if we follow God, with that faith that you already have, that Jesus did it for you, then you will live that victorious life in Christ. How can God command us to do something that He knows we will never be able to do? No. That's just playing with us. God will never do that. So when God commands, it means you have to believe that I will be able to do it. Until we go to heaven, in Christ I will be able to obey. And in heaven, I will be able to obey, even on my own. That's why God commands us. That's why He even commands our good news, because He tells us what I could do in Christ. And without, you know, even Christ, oh, even saying it like that, I don't like it, but in heaven I'm talking about. See, this prayer of Jesus Christ is already accomplished, and it is being accomplished even now and will be visibly consummated when He comes back. Yes, brothers and sisters, we agree we are weak, but we have to remember that Jesus is with us and He comes to the aid for us. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 18, for since He Himself, Jesus, was tempted in that which He has suffered, He is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. He understands our temptations that we face. And He is able to help us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do not neglect these things. You could pray, you could come to God, and He will help you. He will work in you. With faith, you live. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He will keep us until the end. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteousness under punishment for the day of judgment. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, we know that no one who is born of God sins, meaning no one who is born of God continually sins, but he who has born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. Did you know that? Oh yes, he could come and tempt us, but he cannot touch us. We're protected by God. Resist the devil. Bible promises he will flee from you. Believe. And there are two verses, and I will end with this. There are two verses that I would like you to remember whenever you are tempted or tested. One is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4 through 6. God says to you, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. So if you are having a hard time, remember God loves you. And that is the reason why you are having a hard time. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. Just like any father would do their sons and their daughters. Because they love them, they will discipline. And when you're being disciplined, at the time, it's even painful. But you understand that that is good for you. So do not be discouraged. God will test you. But He does that to bless you. And another verse I want you to remember is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to men. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. God promises you when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out. When you're tempted, all you have to do is find that way out. Because your focus is so on that sin that you wanted to commit, you don't see way out. But look for it. God promised you that He will provide that. So that you don't have to sin. You don't have to sin. And if you feel that temptation is so great, then rejoice. God says, what? God says, you will not be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. Which means that you are able to bear that great sin, which means now you have grown. You are a mature Christian. Rejoice. God treats you as a mature Christian. No longer babies. So greater the temptation, rejoice. It's a great opportunity for you to show how much God has been blessing you. First rejoice, you look for the way out, and you go out. That's how we live. Bible clearly tells us. He shows us what we must do. But man, we're so lazy. Just focus on that sin. Oh, we want to do that so much. It really doesn't matter what God provides. No. So you have to start out your day with prayer. If you cannot pray at home when you get up, then I don't know why you're driving when you get to your school or work on the parking lot. Pray. Before you go into your work, pray. Lead us not into temptation, God. Pray. God says to pray like this to those disciples. And every time Jesus prays, and He's so fervently praying that His sweat is become like blood. But He comes back to see disciples and they're all sleeping. It shows the spiritual state of all of us. Yeah, bodily, you know, physically we might be awake, but spiritually we're all sleeping. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we live our lives for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us do our best and I'll end. I'm going to end with a positive point. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we are fighting the fight that ultimately we cannot lose. I want you to understand that. Even as you fall into temptation and you sin, but understand and believe that you are fighting this fight that you cannot lose. Why? Because Jesus' victory is yours. His triumph is yours. His obedience is yours. So yes, I've been sinning all my life. But guess what, brothers and sisters? If I die today, if I die right now, I could go to my God and say, Jesus' victory is mine. His obedience is mine. And God will receive me. I believe. You believe also. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are fighting this battle which we will never lose. We cannot lose. It's already won by our Lord Jesus Christ, that His victory is already ours. But Father, until that day when this victory will be visibly consummated, let's do our best to show, even if it is just little portion of our life and little portion of our time, that we could show the victory that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. Let us live that life that shows more and more of this victory that has been already accomplished. Let us live by faith. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.